Who's that coming down the street? Who's that coming to meet me? Is that too hexy, mamas?
Yeah, that was
Shut good. Up, that was so good.
That makes sense that you're a Capricorn.
I'm a moon.
Because no, you're a Sagittarius.
But like can I tell you something creepy? So my altar is a little bit of a mess right now because I don't have a big enough table to put all my stuff in.
And even, I don't know what time I was born.
Even so, I have, like, things under this little table. And I have my runes just sitting out, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to have them in a nice little bag. But
who's got time for that?
This sounds so disrespectful, but I swear I'm not being disrespectful. So I just have them in the center, and they're just, like, in a little pile. And I didn't notice, like, for a few days.
If you scare me this time, I swear to God I will divorce you. I'm not joking.
No, I'm joking.
There's a lot of ways out, but
Karina will be taking those ways out.
On this episode, we talk about JonBenet Ramsey and how Karina murdered her husband.
I was born at 1:20. Killian was born at 1:21.
I was born at 3 in the morning, like a creep.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know you. I knew our son was born at 1:21.
Yeah, I was born at 1:20. He literally waited a minute.
Creepy.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm gonna, like, follow in my mama's footsteps.
He didn't. It was probably the doctors taking their sweet-ass time.
Well, you ain't wrong.
I will not scare you.
He has his fingers crossed behind his back.
I will scare
you. I mean, you can. You can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you, it's not gonna be a good situation if you do. Sorry, okay, go on.
I would like good situations with you. Love you.
Love you. Goodbye.
Anywho, I think the girls are playing with my runes, unless there's a ghostie in my house. Because I had them all facing down, none were facing up. And then all of a sudden, there's like 5 runes in a row. And like, just straight in a row, as if someone was messing with them.
Gemini.
You are?
Gemini.
It's scary.
Now I'm going to look up Killian's. January 7th.
I forget what the girls are, but
2016.
Me and JC are supposed to be.
I'll die though if Killian's a Gemini Sagittarius or a Capricorn Sagittarius, because Dylan's a Sagittarius Capricorn, and they are very similar.
Huh.
In their actions. Did I tell you he was very sick this week?
Killian?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Puking everywhere.
Ew! There's a bug going around.
Yeah, he's been. Hold on.
What?
This is not about what I'm doing right now. I need to tell you how my son is a shithead.
Well, we already know he is. You do need
to... Just wait.
I sound crazy, but get him some kid, like, gummy probiotics.
I've started him on elderberry, but I do need to do the probiotics, too.
I don't fucking do elderberry. I don't see what it does. Because
really?
It makes
a huge difference.
I don't know, because people who take elderberry still get sick for, it seems, just the same amount of time as other people.
No, I swear it works.
I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. But probiotics, I'm telling you.
Because he has had allergy issues basically from the day he was born. And
you think it helps allergies?
I think it definitely does.
Because if it helps allergies, I'll be on that.
I really think it does.
I thought it just helped with, like, normal sick stuff. But get his gut. Because it's all in the gut.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's never had gut problems until this week.
No. Like, how you get sick. Any sick, like, strep, all this, it's all in your gut. Like, what you're eating, how your body is...
He's
digesting shit and taking in nutrients.
He's a Capricorn Leo.
Oof. Leos? My dad's a Leo.
And
that's we.
I do enjoy that I'm a Gemini. But, okay, so.
I don't enjoy it. Karina and my husband are both Geminis. And the things that irritate me about Geminis, they're like the both of them. Like, it just... They're non-emotional.
No.
They're like, why are you so upset? I don't understand why you're upset about that. Like,
I can't help it.
You can't help it. You're a liar.
I can't.
Oh, my God.
I just don't know how, I just don't know how to deal with it.
I legit don't even tell you some things anymore because I know that you're just not going to care.
I'm so sorry. I try. It's not me being mean. I'm trying so hard. I just can't.
And sometimes I'll test the waters and I'll, like, complain about it to Jacob first and get his reaction, and he's like, why the fuck are you mad at that? I'm like, I guess I'm just gonna talk to myself then.
If I can't tell you, can't tell Karina, so it's
exactly.
The point. No, okay, so listen to this shit. So Killian got sick,
With, like, stomach stuff?
Yes. On Tuesday, Angie took him for the day, and then she texted me, was like, hey, he just threw up.
You guys were gone, weren't you, or no?
No, we got back Sunday night.
Okay.
So so she had him on Tuesday, because she didn't get to see him all weekend.
Oh, and my mom just had it. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
No, she just had him. She'd only had him for a couple hours when he puked. So she brought him home, and he was definitely not himself. Like, literally, he laid on this couch for an hour and didn't move. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's so not Killian to not move.
Yeah, that kid.
Yeah. So, like, that's how everybody knew he was sick, is that he was, like, very lethargic. And then, like, he sat up on the couch, and he was like, huh, huh. We were like, what? And he was just like, huh.
Oh,
and, like,
no.
Just threw up everywhere. So I was like, and I don't do throw up. I just don't. I tried so hard. I was like, I'm going to hold this. And I, like,
no.
I just couldn't do it. But anyway, so he threw up Tuesday. He threw up Wednesday. Thursday, he was fine. Because I kept him home on Wednesday, obviously. Mm-hmm. Thursday, he was fine. He was just kind of, like, iffy, but he didn't throw up or anything. So we took him to, so I took him to school on Friday, and like for the last, I would say the last, since Thanksgiving, he, for some reason, the minute we pull into the school parking lot, he cries. But then, and he'll scream when the teacher comes and like takes him. But then I'll text her and be like, is he okay? And she goes, he literally stops crying after being in there for like 4 minutes. Like, he stops immediately. She's like, I don't know what it is. And he'll tell me, like, I want to go play.
I wonder if it's he was used to you guys being together during Thanksgiving break. And then
because, like, he didn't even do that on the first day of school when he started school.
I wonder if he was just used to, like, I get to be with mommy all the time and now I have to go to school.
Yeah.
I bet that's what it is.
So anyway, so he's been doing that for, like, a month. And so he did it Friday morning. Was not weird. I was more so like, just don't cry so hard. You make yourself puke, you know. So, but she took him, and so I texted her. I was like, hey, because, like, I give him to her, and I, like, run out the door. And so I was like, hey, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but he was sick this week. He's fine now. He never had a fever. Like, it's totally fine. Great. So she calls me. He'd been in school for maybe an hour, and she called me and goes, hey, I think you really need to come get him. He's had a really bad diaper, and he just keeps telling me that, like, his ears hurt. And I was like,
oh, did ear? No?
I said, he hasn't complained about his ears this whole time. That's so weird. And he keeps saying, Miss Julia, my ears hurt. My ears hurt.
I bet he's listening to other kids tell.
So I get there, and I get to the door, and he's playing in the corner with other kids. He sees me, comes bolting to me. Mama, I'm so happy to see you. I pick him up, and his teacher's like, oh, well, you know, he's just so sick. And the director of the school comes out, because she saw me, so she was like, oh, no, did I forget to open the door? I was like, no, I'm here to pick him up early. You know, he's sick, whatever. And he goes, Miss Linda, I'm hurt. Oh, Miss Linda, I'm hurt. And I was like, what is happening? And so, like, we walk out the door, and I look at him, and I go, you're laying it on real thick that you're sick. And I walk out the door, and he goes from being like, oh, oh, to he looks at me and goes, Mama, can I have a lollipop? He faked being sick so I would come pick him up.
Karina, he's not even 3 yet. I don't think he can grasp that concept.
He came home and was, like, bouncing off the walls, having a good old time. And I said, Killian, are you sick? And he goes, no.
You know what? I wonder if it is allergies. Maybe his ear did hurt just for, like, a split second.
I think you're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
And then, like, mucusy poop, maybe.
No. I think you're being nice, and my child's an asshole.
I love Killian, and I'm upset that he's away today because I wanted to
see him. He's at the Polar Express. I couldn't. That's his Christmas present from my parents. They're going to the Polar Express.
I want to go to the Polar Express.
It's a little pricey, but it's really cool. That's why I didn't get to go.
You're like,
she's like, we'll pay, we'll go. And I was like, that will be fun. She goes, oh no, like
not
me,
you,
your dad, and Killian. I was like, oh, okay.
Not you. No, honey,
no,
don't
no,
you
no.
have work to do?
You guys
you?
Have to do. I'm so sorry. I was like, okay. So anyway, so he's at the Polar. I know, you're like, he's not there, I'm going to punch you in the tit. And I was like, oh, great.
I legit told her, I was like, this was before I knew.
Well, yeah, because I had not said he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, and I was like, I want to see Killian. If he's not there, I'm going to punch you in your tit. And then she responds back, my poor boo.
Well, this is the long, I don't know if you noticed, this is the longest it's been since we've seen each other.
It had, Karina was away.
Well, because I have not seen you since last Sunday, so it's been a week.
I missed you, because, like, I don't want to, like, bother you with things that are, like, trivial things that are going on in my life. which it's nothing. Just
when I was away?
Yeah, things are like, because you're having fun. It's like your first, like, kid-free thing. It was. Like, and so I didn't want, I was like, I'm not going to bother you. So I, like, very minimally messaged her, which I still felt a lot. Because I'm very, like, I'm needy. That new Ariana Grande song where it's like, I'm so needy or whatever. That's me. That's me in a nutshell. I'm needy. And so don't be in my life if you can't, like, deal with that. Because then I'm going
to
get mad.
But it's really sad to say, though, that a week was the longest we've not spent together.
Why is that sad?
No, it's not sad. It's just weird. It's just not most
friends. Why is that weird? Well,
no, I guess not. It's because not I did weird. Spend a whole week with a group of people that cry when they don't spend, when they're away from each other for 24 hours.
I love you, but I got to be away from you sometimes.
I don't know how they do it, man. And they all want to live together. And I'm more power to them. It's a great friendship, but I just couldn't do it. I could understand
having a neighborhood and, like, separate houses. Living together in that aspect.
Like how my parents are. Like my parents are literally a mile away from my home, door to door. Like that's fine to me. But I think closer than that's a little much.
Yeah. When Jesse lived in our house that we have now and we were, what, 7 minutes away?
That was perfect.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
I would even, because she talks about all the time, like she wants to buy a plot of land and all the kids like build their houses on this
plot of land. My dad, that's like my dad's dream.
Jacob doesn't see us ever making that happen because it's very expensive.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And we don't have crazy amounts of money, so.
But it's like, that's my dad always said if he ever won the lottery, that's what he would do.
I want to play the lottery.
Probably not the best idea.
Why?
Because you lose more money, and you just lose money until you eventually win, and some people just never win. It does not seem worth it. But some people
win.
Well.
That one lady won, like, what was it, almost $100 million? Yes, but I've
always heard that winning the lottery ruins million? Your life.
Why?
Because money breeds evil.
I don't know about that. See, I'm thinking in the back of my head, college, cars, proms, weddings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Delilah came home from school, and she goes, I like a boy. And I'm like, the fuck you do? She goes, his name's Aiden, and I called him handsome. I was like, oh, God. What? No.
Up until now, she's just wanted to marry her friends. Exactly. I'm really upset now.
And JC, now all of a sudden, she's like, I don't want to get married. I just want to have babies. And I'm like, God.
You know what,
and though? Then, because we've been telling her, you don't, because she's so smart. She was like, I think for the longest time, she thought that you had to be married to have a baby. They know babies come out of your vaginas. They do not know the whole how you make a baby.
How to make a baby.
They're 6 and 7. I'm not going down that road until it's time to. And so she was like, you and Daddy were married, but you had Delilah in your belly already. How did that happen? And I cut it off right there. I was like, you don't have to be married to have a baby. And she just, her eyes lit up. You just should be. Her eyes lit up. She was like, really?
Oh,
and I
she
said,
was going to just marry people so she could have babies. And I love it
and
so
I
much.
And I said, it's, but it makes it a lot easier. Yes. So I think that you should at least be like in a relationship with some, I'm trying to sit here and talk to like, talk like adult wise to like a 6 year old. And I was like, mommy would like it if you were married to someone that you love before you had babies because it's easier. It's easier for two people to raise a baby rather than just one baby.
Yeah.
And she goes, nah. So that's
you know what though? I already know. Like it's just what she's just one of those kids that like I can predict that when she gets old, she's gonna be boy crazy. Ooh, I just know she is.
I think like, I'm gonna stick her in a bunch of extracurricular activities.
Delilah's not gonna care. It's gonna be like she can live with a boyfriend, live without a boyfriend. She's not gonna care.
You know what? Someone was saying the perfect birth control is letting your teenager witness a live birth. Vaginal birth.
That's what they do. That's what Tennessee considers sex education these days.
No, you do like a video.
Yeah. Like, oh, to like be there?
I want her to be there in person. Good smell luck the getting smells. Look at everything.
Good luck getting, being like, hey, can I bring my...
Well, I'm still on the fence if I want to have more kids or not, because I feel like sometimes I feel we're done, and sometimes I feel like I'm not done, but I don't want to do that whole process again. Like, the sleepless nights, never being able to get anything done, never having any time for myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. So, I was thinking, like, if we did have more, I wouldn't have any until the girls are, like, 10, older. 11, 12. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. So, years and years down the road. Because nowadays, like, women in their late 30s are having kids. And they're like,
oh, for
it's
sure.
the best thing in my life. I couldn't imagine having kids any earlier than this. So I'm like, okay.
See, I was the opposite. I told Dylan, I was like, we either have every kid we're going to have before I turn 30 or we stop because I'm not having kids past 30. Like, I know that plenty of people do it and it's fine. It's just not what I wanted to do.
I see older parents and they're not older parents. They're just older than we are parents.
I watched my mom be the young mom, which got me a lot of shit when my mom was the young mom. But then I watched her be the old mom with Mallory. And it's not good either way. Like, she was like, I don't know which one I hated more. She was like, you know, because when she was a young mom, no one took her seriously, you know, because she had me when she was 18. So, and then people are like, your mom's like your sister. And I'm like, well, I mean, it is what it is, but.
I don't think I ever, I think because we live in Tennessee, because you didn't live it. I lived in Florida. So, and I feel like in Tennessee, it's like the southern thing to do. You get out of high school, you marry your high school sweetheart, and you have babies.
In Florida, they assume, well, at least where I grew up, a lot of my friends or, like, schoolmates would assume that because she had me at 18, she was not married. But she was married. She got married when she was 16, technically. Yeah, 16. She got married, like, 2 days before her 17th birthday.
My mom had me at 18, and she got married while she was pregnant with me.
Yeah, see, my mom got married and then just got pregnant. I think she got pregnant, like, 4 months after she got married. Mm-hmm. So it was a very immediate thing, but that's what she wanted. It wasn't, you know, but, like, everybody just doesn't think to do the true math. They're just like, 18, you obviously... Like, I got told, like, that I was, like, that I got told that I was a mistake. I got told that, like...
I was a mistake, and I don't care.
Who cares?
As long as you
were. I tell my brother he was a mistake.
You tell who?
My brother. Because technically, he was an oopsie baby, not a mistake. But because it was because she had...
I feel like he was a very nice oopsie baby.
He was because she had the miscarriage.
Right.
Because she had a miscarriage, and then Nick was an oopsie. Like, she was on birth control when she got pregnant with my brother. So, like, he wasn't oopsie, but he was a very wanted oopsie because she had lost a baby.
I don't know how to tell the girls. We wanted Delilah. We were like, I told Jada, I was like, I want a baby.
I remember that.
And then we got pregnant with JC. I was like,
Not so much.
I cried for days and days and days, and I didn't tell Jacob until, like, I started, like, puking really bad, and he, like, kind of knew what was going on. This sounds so bad.
But she's the best.
At the time, I didn't want her.
Delilah was so little.
Delilah was nowhere near being ready. Delilah was 9 months old. Me and Jacob, we were married, but we were not happy. We were on, like, the brink of a divorce. Like, it was just not a good time at all. Like, I was working my ass off and just not getting anywhere. Like, I had a real job, and then I had photography on the side. And I was, like, working all the time.
But now look.
Never getting anywhere. And as soon as I had her, like, I didn't bond with her.
Until you had her.
Until I had her.
But then now you did. And then when I did,
it was, like, it was a better bonding experience. This sounds bad. It was a better bonding experience with her than with Delilah.
Because you didn't expect to fall. Like, you, it I was almost like you fell fall. In love.
I did.
Whereas, like, Delilah was, like, you were always in love.
Right.
See, that's what I told Dylan. I was like, how do I explain that to Killian that, like, because of my postpartum, I did not love him until he was, like, 4 or 5
you
months old.
You loved him.
I just didn't care.
You would kill for him.
Probably would have, but I just didn't feel like I did.
It was, exactly. But you did.
But, I mean, I could, but he's like, but he said to me, he's like, you know what, though? The fact that he's alive still and that you took care of him despite all of that shows that you loved him.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
He said, so you can tell him that, be like, yeah, I didn't feel it, but my action showed it. And I was like, that's true, I didn't think about it that way.
Or you could, I mean, I did love you, but I didn't have a connection with you until this certain time. Mommy had to better herself so she could have a relationship with you.
I was watching, Russell Brand has a new stand-up.
I love Russell Brand.
Very good.
And his dog.
He's babies now and is married. Yeah. I didn't know.
I thought he only had one baby.
He just had a second one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he was talking, well, so a lot of the stand-up is about being a dad and everything, but there was one part where he's like, statistics show that, like, X amount of this percentage of people in this room are married and happy, and they're like, woo. And he was like, and he goes through a couple of them, but then he goes, statistics show that 28% of the people in this room are mentally ill. And he goes, no one cheer for that one. He goes, because what are you going to do? Woo, I'm fragile. And I was like, that's what I'm going to start doing to people. They're like, yeah, I'm fragile.
Oh my God, I love him so much. He was on some kind of, like, morning show, and the talk show host was like, okay, we're out of time. And he goes, nope, we're not out of time. Time is infinite. Like, going on and on. I love him so much.
A lot of the stand-up was, like, watching past interviews and being like, I was such a fuckhead. Like him being like, why did I think that I knew what I was doing? It was very funny, but it was very much, like, he was definitely like, the world is infinite, and there's my chakra, and this is this. Uh-huh. And, like, it was very, like, unless you, like, knew what he was talking about, you were like,
he was fucking batshit crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was funny. But he watched his wife give birth.
Give birth, yeah.
And he was like, he said, he's talking about how the vagina first protrudes.
Yeah.
Like a cone. And then he said, then it opens. He goes, and then I thought, how big really is a baby's head? Well, it's okay. That's not that bad. Like a Ken doll. And he goes, then it got like an apple size. He goes, okay, I can love a baby with an apple sized head. He goes, then it went to this. And he was just like, how big is a baby's head? And I was like, it was so fucking funny. It was so good. You would like it.
Sorry.
It's on Netflix, so go ahead and watch it. But are you ready?
No, I have to pull up this.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah, my phone died. Excuse me.
Your phone died?
Well, it didn't die. It, like, the screen.
Oh, 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 oh. JonBenet. Okay. Spoiler alert.
I think they already know we're doing JonBenet.
Oh, yeah, because the title would have dictated such. So, oh, we did.
Hold on, I gotta find this.
Freaking.
What?
Hi, we're two hexy mamas, and this is a weekly.
How long have we been talking for? At least 20
minutes.
Oh, my God.
Hi, this is Two Hexy Mamas. We are a weekly podcast about all things creepy, paranormal, dead, murder, anything we want.
Oh, my God.
Poor Dylan.
I wonder if he can slice.
We appreciate that Dylan edits the shit out of these podcasts. So this week, because we are in December and it is a festive month, we are doing a couple kind of Christmassy episodes, one of which is the one we're doing today, which is JonBenet, which if you are a true crime person in the slightest, even people who are not into true crime love this, like, don't love it because it's a crime and it's terrible, it's just
fascinating.
Exactly, that's the good word for it. You even like it and you're not into true crime.
I don't like it.
It fascinating.
Yes, I used to want to, when I was in high school, I thought about becoming a detective. And then I went into further thinking, like, my obsessive compulsiveness, I wouldn't be able to move on to another case until I solved a specific...
Like, a lot of people are like that, though.
Yeah, I can't. I would never be able to become a detective because I couldn't move on from case to case. Like, it would consume my entire life, and I don't want to be like that.
No.
So I just hate that she doesn't have, like, closure.
Still. Which is still, ridiculous.
Because she was born August 6, 1990, so she was born...
The same year I was.
The same year that we were.
I was born May 26, 1990.
And then I was November 1990.
So she was close to, like, really close to your age.
So I feel like...
Do you remember when we were kids, you know how when you went up to, like, grocery, like where you, like, checked out at a grocery store, they have all the tabloids, were always right there by the thing? And so, of course, like, while your mom was taking forever to, like, scan all the shit, you would stand there and look at the, like, Archie comics or, like, the things like that. I very vividly remember seeing her picture on, like, every tabloid. And it was, like, the same picture. You don't remember it, man?
It was the picture
where she's wearing, like, an off-the-shoulder pageant-y dress, and it's all ruffles, and her hair is gigantic, and she's got, like, pounds of makeup on. And it was in every tabloid ever, and I didn't know what it was about. I just remember seeing this picture, and I had no clue why she was in the tabloids, but I just remembered her being in it. And because, yeah, it happened when we were 6 years old.
Yeah.
So no,
I don't remember much when I was...
You have a very poor memory.
I have a very poor memory, and I, like, I don't know.
Block out things.
I think that's what I
think. That's probably what it, yeah.
So I don't remember a lot.
And but, no, I remember, like, while I was getting the art, because I would read the Archie comics while my mom was taking 10 million years to get our groceries.
You know what I do remember? I don't remember where we were living in. It might have been Ohio. When my parents would go grocery shopping in one store, they had, like, a daycare center where you could drop your kids off. While you went and grocery shopped.
That sounds like $1,000,000,000 idea.
But I remember I just hated it. I hated it so much.
No, I would use that so much. I hated it. Well, now you kind of don't need that because you can
grocery shop
with a click. I'm telling you, that thing with Walmart, well, it's all the stores now, but I use Walmart, where you drive your car up and they put your groceries in your car for you and you drive away.
It irritates me sometimes because of the substitutions. Oh. We have been to the Walmart one twice. That's close to us, the market, not the full one, just the market. And we will click toilet paper, and every single fucking time they will give us paper towels, and we don't know it until we're already home.
Oh, that's never, that's a mistake on their part, because
it, 2 times.
Because when they give you a substitute, they have to give you something of equal or greater value. So, like, the amount of times, like, so, like, for instance, the other day, Killian drinks those carnation breakfast shakes because it...
Fuck.
What?
I forgot to bring his cup. I forgot something this morning.
He drinks those carnation breakfast shakes. So, like, the other day, I ordered a box of, like, 12 of them. They were out of the box of 12, so they gave me the box of 20, and I paid for the box of 12.
Shit, I didn't know that.
So, like, things like... I always... get stuff when they do my substitutes. The only time I don't like it is if, like, I order a specific flavor and they're like, we substituted the same item, just a different flavor. And I'm like, but you don't have, you can tell it not to substitute it. But I'm telling you, that is a mother's best friend because I don't have to take Killian out of the car. We just pull up.
I like it. It's time saving.
It's so convenient. And I think it saves me money because I'm an impulse buyer.
So is Jacob. We'll spend $100 when we do the grocery pickup. We go and do grocery shop. We
spend like $200.
$200, $250, $300.
Yeah.
Because he'll start seeing things like, oh, I want to make this. And I hate shopping with him because he gets these little impulses that he has.
Oh, yeah.
And a few weeks ago it was, I'm going to go on my real diet, like dairy-free, nut-free, whatever, and spent all this money on fucking dairy-free cheese, and he doesn't even eat it. Like, who the fuck is gonna eat this now? It's just sitting in the fridge. Right. And I'm like, I wish that I could just keep doing this Walmart pickup because
it's so much easier. And it's cheaper. Dude, I'm telling you.
But I don't remember seeing her.
Yeah, when no, I do. I just remember seeing that picture in, like, the magazines and the tabloids, and I just remember thinking, that little girl looks like me because she was blonde, and, like, we looked very, and, like, I danced. So, like, I had my hair, like, zhuzhed up like that, and I had, like, pounds of makeup on constantly.
Well, some people.
I forget who it was. Said that, like, her mother put her in this situation. Now, I feel like trying to research these or watch any documentaries, majority of them are biased.
Right.
Either they're for an outsider killed her, and then majority of them are for a family member killed her.
Right.
So it's really hard to, like...
watch it and get, like, solid information.
To get solid information somewhere. But other people were talking about how a 6-year-old shouldn't have been in all these beauty pageants with pounds of makeup on, always portrayed as this child.
I agree in a sense, because, like, I always wonder if I had a daughter if I would do that. But then again, I grew up in dance. I was not pageants, but it's not far off, honestly.
It is, though.
But I wore fake eyelashes. I wore pounds of MAC makeup. I had red lips constantly. I literally had a dance that when I was 8 years old, I danced the song Hanky Panky by Madonna, which is a dirty song, and I wore lingerie on stage when I was 8 years old.
No, I wouldn't let my kids
like,
do that.
Or, like, when I did it, I danced that song, L-O-V-E, that's like, L is for the way.
Yeah.
And I wore a top that was an illusion that made it look like I just had a heart on my chest. Little tiny underwear that was polka dotted and giant Cupid wings. I looked like Cupid. And that's what I danced in. And I had my hair slick back. Like, I looked like a tiny adult. Yeah. And nothing ever happened to me. Like, my mom was, I mean, like, I wasn't dancing, I was barefaced, I was home, I was doing other things.
I feel like majority of kids, nothing happens to them.
I think...
But because she was so nationally known...
I just think...
She had stalkers, she had men who were...
Right.
Had pictures of her in their back pocket, mm-hmm. who probably did nasty things to her pictures.
Oh, God, absolutely. I just think, like, there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. Like I said, I wasn't... I mean, I had a dance studio full of girls my age who all did the same thing, and nothing ever happened to us, and we traveled all over the world, you know, and so nothing ever happened to us, but I think it's because our parents made sure we still stayed little girls.
I'm not against parents who do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's your kid. You do what you do with your kid.
You just wouldn't do it.
I just wouldn't.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Just like some people will vaccinate their kids and some people won't.
No, Jillson, don't do that.
We get like 50 million comments.
As a side note, all of our children are vaccinated.
Yeah, my kids are vaccinated.
And they always will be.
Yeah.
That's just a side note.
And I hate when people are always like, JC had cancer. You're going to vaccinate her?
Hell yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm going to vaccinate
her. Her vaccine is not the reason she got sick. Sorry.
Somebody pointed that out when she was younger. They're like, she got cancer because she had a vaccine. And she was 3 at the time. And the last time that she had a vaccine, she was... it was her 1-year appointment.
You know the reason she got that cancer, and there was nothing to do with vaccines.
It's the type of cancer that JC had. It's very specific. Like, it's with the EB, is it EB virus or something like that?
Well, I don't know.
Epstein-Barr virus, and something else.
HPV.
HPV is another, that's like another okay, link of the Epstein-Barr virus.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Another certain thing, and conditions just have to be right, and then that's when it happens.
But bottom line, it had nothing to do with
nothing
vaccines.
Nothing to do with vaccines.
Actually, technically, a vaccine might have stopped it. Because if you had gotten...
I had it. I got that vaccine.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I got it. When I was 16.
See, I
16,
never did.
Because my dad was a nurse.
Oh, duh, yeah.
So when it first came out...
Dad was like, do
he
it.
He was on it, and I got it, and I still had it. I still got it.
I never got it. And I'm like, ooh, I should have probably.
Well, I had gyno appointments, from when I was 18 on, and I never had shown signs.
You didn't go
until
you were 18?
I was not sexually active.
I thought, but you're supposed to go to the gyno when you start your period.
I did. Well, maybe I was 16.
I was going to say, because I was 15.
Because I had to be
15.
On my, for some reason, my parents put me on birth control, but I wasn't sexually active.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe because they didn't trust me. I don't know.
I was on birth control, but that's because I was sexually active.
I wasn't sexually active until I was almost 18. But,
I was.
I didn't show signs of it until just recently, like a few years ago.
I remember that, yeah.
It was right before we went on our Make-A-Wish trip that I showed signs of it. And I had, like, 2 of the worst strains. And I'm like...
How'd that happen?
I'm looking at Jacob, and I'm like...
What happened?
What, are you cheating on me? And my OB was like, no. You could have had this
your
whole life and not even known. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
You just saved my husband's life. Yeah.
I don't think
If they told me anything was wrong with my vagina, even if it was like, no, there's no way your husband could have done it to you, I'd be like, well, Dylan, you're dead now. Because my vagina was fine before.
But I don't... It's so weird, like... I always joke around, like, if Jacob ever cheated on me, I'd kill him, but I don't think he would. Like, do you ever get that with, like,
you don't
Dylan,
think
you just know they would never cheat on you?
No, I know Dylan would never cheat on me, but I make jokes all the time when he's at work, he'll say something, I'm like, oh, that's who you're gonna cheat on me with? He's like, yeah, I'm
Jacob
like,
does that, too.
He works with all middle-aged women, like.
Jacob does that, too. He's like,
Oh, God, we're almost middle-aged. I can't say that, really.
We're not almost middle-aged.
What's middle-aged? What's the number?
Like 40-something,
okay,
to me.
Okay, then we're good. Okay.
Are you high?
Well, I'm almost
30. Go back downstairs. I'm doing the podcast by myself now. Anyways, vaccines, I'm for them. I feel like they save kids. I've seen way too many kids on the cancer floor die from the flu.
Yep.
Because of...
Some asshole didn't vaccinate their kids. Sorry. You can stop listening all you want. I don't give a shit.
I used to be like...
I'll fight people on that one.
Oh, I don't care, really. Like,
oh, no,
we can't. Do what you gotta do. And then my daughter got sick. And
has a compromised immune system.
Had a compromised immune system, and I relied on everybody else to keep her safe.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the one time it was my birthday and Thanksgiving, that whole month of November, we were in the hospital. Her chemo got pushed back, all because she got sick from, like, this tiny little thing.
Some other kid,
that
yeah.
some other kid gave her that they could have been vaccinated yep. from. But she wasn't old enough to be vaccinated.
No, she wasn't,
for it.
Yeah.
And her system was also being wiped. So she had to get a whole bunch of vaccinations.
Poor baby.
Again.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, wow, like, this is eye-opening to me. And then some of our friends' kids were dying because so-and-so had the flu. Mm-hmm. And her immune system was so compromised that she died.
I just know a lot of people who don't vaccinate their kids, who their kids are sick a lot. And my kid's not sick that much. Yeah, he's got allergies, but there's nothing I can do about that.
Ironically... JC just got all of her... She'll be 3 years remission in January, and she just got revaccinated for a whole bunch of her stuff. And from then on, she hasn't really been sick that much.
Your kids also don't get sick that much.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. I don't know what you do, but your kids just don't get sick.
I think because we, like, when they were little, we let them eat, like, dirt and shit.
Well, what's that? Killian should never be sick. I let that kid spit out a Band-Aid in my hand the other day from Chick-fil-A. Like... That kid eats everything.
Also, I'm telling you, probiotics.
Get
some probiotics.
I think he drinks a lot of yogurt.
Yogurt is good.
That's what I'm saying. That's got probiotics in it, doesn't it? Yeah. He drinks Go-Gurt, like a Danimals.
Go-Gurt.
No,
oh,
Danimals.
I miss Go-Gurt.
Yeah. Like the little Danimal cups?
Yeah.
He loves those
things.
JC used
to love those.
Loves
those
things.
Now she doesn't like them
Yeah, he loves yogurt. He always has. Even when he was a baby, we'd give him Greek yogurt. He loved Greek yogurt.
I remember when JC was sick, all she wanted was yogurt. She's like, I want yogurt.
And she couldn't have it.
She couldn't have it because the probiotics in it would make her really sick.
Yeah.
They're like, you can't give her anything with, like, live bacteria. She can't have it. And she was just, like, crying. She's like, I want yogurt.
Poor baby.
I was like, I'm sorry. I can't give you yogurt.
I promise you, the minute you can, I'll give you all the yogurt you want.
Did I ever tell you when she was in the PICU? It was like 2 months. She hadn't eaten or drinking anything, but she was always thirsty. And all she wanted was apple juice.
Yeah, you told me.
And the minute that she was allowed to have apple juice, one of her, I guess he was a doctor, and I'll never forget him. He was so nice. He reminded me of, like, Dylan, but, like, darker hair, glasses, and, like, a full beard. Mm-hmm. And he was so good with her. He was, like, younger, too. He was so good with her. He would, like, sit and play games with her and do all this stuff. And he came in, and he had, because she would always ask him, like, can I have some apple juice, please? And imagine this in, like, a cute little 3-year-old voice.
Also, and JC also talks like she's from New Jersey.
She does.
Please. Please.
Oh, I love her. And she would always ask him, and he would always try to, like, divert, like, the question and, like, hey, let's blow some bubbles, let's do something else. And the minute he came in and he had a little, it was those little, like, cup carton things.
Yes, like
and
at
she
school.
Knew what it was. Aww. She knew what it was, and her eyes lit up, and she goes, that's apple juice, can I have some? And he was like, yeah, you can have some. But they were like, you know, because she hadn't eaten or drinking anything in so long, he was like, you can only have a few sips just now, and we have to wait, and then you can have some more. And she drank the whole thing, and he didn't even care. He was like, well.
Whatever.
Whatever.
And it's making her happy. Who cares?
She was so happy. She was like, more? Can I have some more?
More.
But I will never forget. That was just so awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so today we're talking about JonBenet Ramsey because it was a Christmas crime. Jessica is going to talk about the crime itself.
I'm going to try to talk about the crime itself without involving suspects. Because honestly, it was kind of hard.
It was hard, yeah.
It's kind of hard to do. So most of this
Well, I had to do the same thing where I was like, don't talk about the crime, just talk about the, like.
I'm reading from Wikipedia. I love reading from Wikipedia because they break it down into specific subjects. They'll go, like, backstory. Then they'll go, I don't know, like, weird things. Yeah. What is this? Backstory, life, parents, evidence, investigation. And then they go into theories and suspects, which I said I was going to stop there.
Because she's going to do the crime itself. I am going to do the theories and the suspects.
Right.
So,
and I know I don't want to, like, cause any, like, uproar. Because
I mean?
People are very passionate about this.
That's true, they are.
So I don't want to seem like we're being disrespectful or something like that.
I don't think we will. I feel like a lot of people agree on the same kind of set of things, so I think it'll be fine.
That's true. And I feel like where evidence is now, everybody knows, like, what probably happened.
Well, I don't know, man, but go ahead.
Because, what is it? We'll get into it later, because I'm, whatever. Okay. So, JonBenet Ramsey, which, can I say, JonBenet, you know that's her name.
Yeah, it's her,
like,
dad's
it's
name.
Her, right.
Because his name is John, is it? But his is just Bennett.
But
because
her
his
name
doesn't
is,
have the little tilde thing on it.
What is it called? It's like a blend. There's a specific word where the name is blended together to sound.
Like Brangelina?
No, it's not that. No, it's not a shit name. It's a very eloquent word.
That's what people think. That's what people think is how we named Killian.
I thought that's how you guys named Killian.
Yeah, we
Killian.
Did not. Because Dylan is Dylan and I am Karina, so people thought it was
That's
Killian.
That's literally y'all's ship name.
I didn't think about it.
Lies.
Didn't even cross... No, I swear it didn't cross my mind.
It's gonna be like a mystery for, like, you're on your deathbed, and you're gonna admit to me, like,
I knew his
name was gonna be Killian all along, because it's my name and Dylan's name together.
No.
Dead.
I named him after a character I thought was hot in a television show.
Oof, he is hot.
That's not who it is, though. It's not Killian from Captain... It's not from Once Upon a Time.
Who the fuck are you talking about?
Did you ever watch the show Witches of East End?
Oh my god, probably like a million
years
ago. With
Jenna Dwayne Tatum and... Not Witches of Eastwick. That's something different.
That's with Cher in it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. No, this is a show with Jenna Dwayne Tatum, like, who's married to Channing Tatum.
They're not married.
Not anymore, but they were.
Nice try.
Ay, ay, ay. And there's a character in the show named Killian.
I don't know. I've never seen that.
Very good. I will show you. I think he's hot.
I was
you probably
say,
will not.
We have very different
yes.
Tastes. Okay,
toenail
so she was
broke. So upset.
She was born August 6, 1990, in December.
What?
Oh, wait, no. It has a dash. She was born August 6, 1990. The day
Got
of the
it.
Crime, I feel like they don't really know. Well, they do. She was technically, she died the 26th of December, but the crime could have happened, like, on the cusp of the 25th, right. 26th. So, she was an American child beauty queen who was killed in her family's home in Boulder, Colorado. A lengthy handwritten ransom note was found in the house, and JonBenet's father, John, found her body in the basement of the house about 8 hours after she was reported missing. Can I say, I remember you saying the mom threw her body over JonBenet.
I heard that in a documentary.
It was the dad. And well, he didn't throw him. He picked her up.
Okay, so what the story that I heard.
Into a different room.
Right. The story that I heard was he picked her up, brought her upstairs.
And then she threw herself
on her. And then she was like, my baby, and like threw herself on her.
Can I tell you though, and then it goes into detail in here, that the way, apparently, when a child is found dead, police will look at how you, like a normal parental response.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
After like finding out that your child is dead, you throw yourself on them. Usually you don't cover the head. Like, you cover the torso. Like, you're wrapping yourself around them, but you don't cover the head. Oh. And she covered the head.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's what people, there's like all those TV shows that I love, by the way, where it's like they analyze very small things about their behavior.
But it's true that like you need that kind of stuff.
Because it's like your body just naturally does certain things, and there are some things that you force your body to do, and that's how you know you're lying.
Right. A lengthy, and also the rants. I feel, I don't know.
2.5 pages.
2.5 pages, but you know that they found a practice note, right?
No, I didn't know that one.
What? They found the, what is it called?
The stationery.
The stationery, which was a notebook.
It was her stationery.
It was her
too.
Stationery, her notebook, and so that's where the note came from.
Right.
They found pieces of a practice note, write in a notebook, if you're writing hard enough,
you can
see.
Oh, I write very hard, so all my stuff has
indentations. A practice note was found, or the makings of a practice note was indented
I guess in theory, if it is someone outside the home, it could have been like, I'm going to write, oh no, let's rip it out and try a different thing.
No, if I'm going into a home, and I'm not going to take stuff and write around. I'm going to already have a ransom.
Exactly.
Note.
I would have it written.
You want to get in and out as fast as you can.
Yeah. I have something to add to that when I get to my part, so go on.
So a lengthy handwritten ransom note was found in the house, and JonBenet's father, John, found her body in the basement of their house about 8 hours after she was reported missing. She sustained a broken skull from a blow to the head and had been strangled. A garrote, which is like...
Garrote.
A garrote. It's like a rope. It's anything that can... With like a twisty thing.
It's
on it.
It's where you could use twisting to kind of make it tighter and kill somebody. Usually it's got like a garrote that's like made to be a garrote is usually a wire with two handles on
oh,
it.
Okay.
So you can, like,
can do that.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. Was found tied around her neck, and I think it was like a pencil.
Paintbrush.
A paintbrush.
Which that belonged to the mother.
Which pieces of have never been found. Like,
right.
It was broken off. And it was tied around her neck. The autopsy report stated that the official cause of death was asphyxia by strangulation associated with blunt force trauma. But now we know that the blunt force trauma was what killed her, and then the strangulation came after. Some will speculate that it was because of a cover-up. Her death was ruled a homicide, and the case generated nationwide public and media interest, in part because her mother, Patsy Ramsey, herself a former beauty queen, had entered JonBenet in a series of child beauty pageants. So the only reason that this case was so blown up in the first place is because everybody knew who she was.
Well, everybody in Boulder. I don't think people around the United States knew who
she
was.
She was Little Miss America, I think.
Yeah, but who keeps up with that? Before Toddlers and TRs, who kept up with that?
I don't know. I think lots of people did.
Who knows?
Lots of older, creepy men.
Well, that is a whole other thing.
The crime is still unsolved and remains an open investigation with the Boulder Police Department. The police initially suspected that the ransom note had been written by JonBenet's mother, and then the note and appearance of the child's body had been staged by her parents in order to cover up the crime. However, in 1998, the district attorney said that due to a new DNA analysis, none of the immediate family members were under suspicion for the crime. Mm-hmm. Also in 1998, the police and the DA both said that JonBenet's brother Burke, who was 9 years old at the time of her death, was not a suspect. The Ramseys gave several televised interviews but resisted police questioning except on their own terms, which is also like a very big
why.
If something happened to my kid, I'm going to cooperate with the police. However,
I will do whatever they fucking
whatever
want.
They want. You want me to like run around naked, doing whatever you want, I'm going to do anything.
Yeah.
In October 2013, Unsealed court documents revealed that a 1999 grand jury had recommended filing charges against JonBenet's parents for permitting the child to be in a threatening situation.
Yep.
John and Patsy were also accused of hindering the prosecution of an unidentified person who had committed the crime of murder in the first degree and child abuse resulting in death. And those are in my invisible quotations.
Which, side note, as a parent with a child who's dead, literally the only person you would protect is your other child. Because you've lost one kid, don't lose another one.
Well, that's why they...
That's what I'm saying. Like, that makes sense to me. Obviously, I'm biased. Like, I have my opinion. But go on.
But if she knew anything about the laws in Boulder, Colorado at that time, he wouldn't have been charged with anything.
Why?
Because you couldn't be charged with a murder until you were older. That you had to be older than 9.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I think it's, like, maybe 10 or 11.
Yeah, but still, you don't want your kid to go through that.
But if they went through it, they clearly need psychological help.
You would think, but...
No, if Delilah did something to JC, I'm going to say, this is what happened.
But a lot of parents aren't like that.
That's weird, though, because
they just want to protect. You know what I'm saying? They just want to protect.
But protecting is also making sure that your child has the correct mental health.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but...
You want them to grow up and have a normal life, don't you? Not grow up and have this big, giant secret that is weighing down on them.
But it's a common thing, from what I understand, that when one child commits a crime against another, that parents do often cover it up.
I don't know. Maybe if I was ever put in that situation, I would think differently.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I would protect my other child, but that's why I'm only having one kid and I don't have to.
I would protect them in a different way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You have to be responsible for
what your kid did.
What you did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're 9. If you killed someone, you still killed someone. You need to be held responsible for this.
I mean, I agree.
I don't know.
Killian bit his friend the other day, and I smacked him on the face.
He bit me.
That's right, he did bite you. But he bit you gently.
He did bite. He started, and he was just giggling. I was like, he is biting me.
He bit his friend.
Yeah, and then
maliciously.
He motorboated me. I was like,
hold on. I came to my parents' house after, and I told him, I was like, just so everybody knows, Killian motorboated Jessica. And my brother went, I have never been more proud of that boy in my life. And my dad was like,
oh my God.
All the men in the house were like, good job, Killian. And I was like,
who taught him this?
Who do you think taught him that? Boobs man McGee, my husband.
Oh my God. I was just like, I was kind of like taken aback. I was like, did he just?
He's got a weird obsession with boobs.
JC does.
For a child that's never been breastfed.
JC was breastfed, so I see where the obsession comes from.
But like, I don't see where, because the other day we were in the shower, because like he was sick. I told you he was sick. Well, he was covered in just throw up and poop and everything. So I was like, I'm going to get in the shower. Put him
just
in the shower.
Easier to clean him off.
Well, I put him in the shower and he started to cry and he was like wanting me to hold him. So of course I took my clothes off and I got in the shower with him, which is something we do. It's not weird.
I don't think it's weird.
I don't think it's weird. No. So I was holding him in the shower, but he let me like hold him in the water for like 45 minutes. Aww. But then when he finally started feeling better, he looked back, looked at my boobs and went, and just smacked him and just went, boobs.
At least he didn't ever pinch your nipple.
No, he never has
done
that.
Oh my God, when JC was like a little bit older when she was breastfeeding, she would take her other hand and put it down my shirt and pinch my other nipple. Have you ever had like your nipple pinch so hard that like you get a shooting pain in your back and you're like, no?
No.
Bless you.
I just don't think I've ever had someone try and pinch my nipple that hard.
We're not going to talk about pinching nipples right now. So the DA determined that there is insufficient evidence to pursue a successful indictment. I guess because some people could be like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
I don't know.
They were just entering in her, in a beauty pageant to whatever.
I mean, because there's plenty of people who do enter their kids in beauty pageants and nothing happens. Right. So I guess that's probably it.
And also, it would have cost so much money. So they probably were just like, we're not even
It's not worth it, yeah. Right.
Excuse me. We ate just before this, so I'm a little gassy. In 2012, the DA's successor took over the investigation of the case from the police and primarily pursued an alternative theory that an intruder had committed the killing. And this is why I was saying earlier that it was hard for me to take pieces of notes from certain places, because half the time people are going to push on that it's an outsider,
right.
It wasn't the parents, and they'll leave out stuff, and then or make you seem like, oh, that's not really like significant
right.
evidence. And then on the other hand, people are saying, like,
let's push this other stuff.
Right. So it's very hard. In 2003, trace DNA that was taken from the victim's clothes was found to belong to an unknown male. This discovery induced the DA to send the Ramseys a letter of apology in 2008, declaring the family completely cleared. In February 2009, the Boulder police took the case back from the DA and reopened the investigation. Media coverage of the case has focused on JonBenet's brief beauty pageant career, as well as her parents' wealth and the unusual evidence found in the case. Media reports have also requested how the police handled the case. Mm-hmm. Ramsey family members and their friends have filed defamation suits against several media organizations. The whole police thing.
Yeah, apparently, and I don't know how true this is, I just heard this in one of the documentaries I watched, because it was Christmas morning that they got called to the, because it was Christmas morning that they got called, or was it the...
It was the day after.
Okay, but because it was near, so near Christmas, they said that the cops that were on duty, and, like, I'm not saying this from personal belief because, obviously,
they
I don't know.
Like, they were like cops the cops or whatever.
They were, like, the B-string cops. They weren't, like, their best of the best of the Boulder police. They were just, like, hey, like, we'll take the shift so that people could be with their family. So it's, I mean, and, like, I know, like, it, like, because my dad does work for the state in a prison. Like, they try and, like, let... You know, some of the people, they're like, hey, go spend time with your family. Like, we'll stay. And so sometimes it is the rookies who only have just a wife and not the guys who have been there for 10 years with kids mm-hmm. or grandkids. You know what I'm saying? So I can see how that can happen.
But still, like, they should be trained on the same
thing. Exactly. I was just saying is I don't know how true that is. Just
they
because they're a rookie doesn't mean they're not
good.
They
in and out of the house. Like,
they,
different friends and family members were in and out of the house trampling through the snow when no, they haven't, like, went around and looked and see if there were
footprints. There were no footprints because that's a big, big part of the reason why they think it's the family.
Oh, I thought there were.
No.
Somebody said there were, but they were staged by the parents.
See, everything I read said there were no footprints. Huh. I don't know. There was a lot of, I will say that, there was a lot of conflicting information. Like, there was one particular suspect that I cover where one website told me one story and another website told me a completely different story.
What was his name?
I don't remember. I'll read. Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
What was I going to say? Mm-hmm. Oh, so they let people come in and out of the house. Family members were bringing food and stuff over and, like, cleaning up and wiping down counters.
It's so ridiculous.
Like, cleaning, like...
Well, and then also the police office, the reason why the
there was also something, a piece of evidence that was never tested for DNA. They took it and it was, I forget what it is. I have it somewhere.
The reason why John was the one that found her body is because he was getting on the police officer's nerves because he was asking questions and doing all this stuff. So she was like, why don't you just go look around the house to see if you see anything out of place? And it was one of those things, like, she told him so that he would get out of the way so she could investigate properly.
But one officer went down where the basement was
and didn't
open up. I guess the door was barricaded and he didn't even open it up to look.
So that's what...
But
that's why John was the one that found her. Because John and another man. There was a friend that was just there. Because... I said the police officer was like, go look. And he, like, literally was like, okay, and beelined it.
I thought he
looked
with the detective.
No. That's not what the information I got, though.
I have that information that he went down with the detective.
See, that's what I'm saying. Why is there so many conflicting...
I don't know. It's hard. I'm going to go into, like, evidence. So, according to statements that Patsy gave to authorities on December 26, 1996, she realized that her daughter was missing after she found a 2.5-page handwritten ransom note on the kitchen staircase. One, bitch, why you up so late at night and you just randomly find a note?
Well, it's Christmas?
No, it's the 26th, so it's the day after Christmas. So you're...
Yeah, why are you upset?
Honestly.
You should be very tired.
Uh-huh. The note demanded $118,000 for the child's safe return, almost the exact value of a bonus her husband had received earlier that year. Side note, can I get a bonus of that much money?
Right. Where's that bonus?
The random note. The ransom note was unusually long, and the FBI told the police that it was very unusual for such a note to be written at the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
The police believe that the note was staged because it did not have any fingerprints and included an unusual use of exclamation marks and acronyms.
It also had a lot of quotes from movies.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The note and a practice draft were written with a pen and pad of paper from the Ramsey home. According to a Colorado Bureau of Investigation report, these are indications that the author of the ransom note is Patricia Ramsey. However, they could not definitely prove it. The only known people to be in the house on the night of JonBenet's death were her immediate family, Bert, Patsy, and John Ramsey. The ransom note contained specific instructions that the police and friends should not be contacted, but Patsy telephoned the police at 5:52 a.m.
Yeah, most parents don't do that. Like, when their kid, they're not going to call the police immediately. They're going to try and figure it out on their own.
She also called family and friends.
That's even weirder.
Yeah. Two police officers responded to the 911 call and arrived at the Ramsey home within 3 minutes. They conducted a cursory search of the house but did not find any sign of forced entry. Officer Rick French went to the basement and came to a door that was secured by a wooden latch. He paused for a moment in front of the door but made a critical error when he walked away without opening it. Unknown to him, JonBenet's body was on the other side of the door. John made arrangements to pay the ransom. A forensic team was dispatched to the house. The team initially believed that the child had been kidnapped, and JonBenet's bedroom was the only room in the house that was cordoned off to prevent contamination of evidence. No process was taken to prevent contamination of evidence in the rest of the house. Meanwhile, friends and the family's minister arrived in the home to support the Ramseys. Victim advocates also arrived at the scene. Visitors picked up and cleaned surfaces in the kitchen, possibly destroying evidence. Boulder Detective Linda Linda arrived at the house about 8 a.m.
This is the one I was talking about that told him to just go.
With the goal of awaiting the kidnapper's instructions, but there was never an attempt to claim the money. Discovery of the body. At 1 p.m., Detective, this Linda girl.
Yeah.
Asked John and Fleet White, a family friend, to search the house to see if anything seemed amiss.
Yep.
John and White searched their... started their search in the basement. John finally opened the latch door that Officer French had failed to open and found his daughter's body in one of the rooms. JonBenet's mouth was covered with duct tape, a nylon cord was found around her wrists and her neck, and her torso was covered by a white blanket. Ramsey made a critical error when he immediately picked up the child's body and took it upstairs. When JonBenet was moved, the crime scene was contaminated and critical forensic evidence was disturbed for the returning forensic team. Each of the Ramseys provided handwriting, blood, and hair samples to the police. John and Patsy participated in a preliminary? preliminary interview for more than 2 hours, and Burke was also interviewed within the first couple of weeks following JonBenet's death. The autopsy revealed that JonBenet had been killed by strangulation and a skull fracture. The official cause of death was asphyxia by strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma. There was no evidence of conventional rape, although sexual assault could not be ruled out. Although no semen was found, there was evidence that there had been a vaginal injury, and at the time of the autopsy, it had appeared her vaginal area had been wiped with a cloth. Her death was ruled a homicide. What did you call that thing? A garrote?
A garrote.
A garrote was made from a length of nylon cord, and the broken handle of a paintbrush was tied around JonBenet's neck and had apparently been used to strangle her. Part of the bristle end of the paintbrush was found in a tub containing Patsy's art supplies, but the bottom third of it was never found despite extensive searching of the house by the police in subsequent days. The autopsy also revealed a vegetable or fruit material which may represent pineapple, which JonBenet had eaten a few hours before her death. Photographs of the home taken of the day when JonBenet's body was found show a bowl of pineapple on the kitchen table with a spoon in it. However, both John and Patsy said they do not remember putting the bowl on the table or feeding pineapple to JonBenet. Police reported that they found JonBenet's 9-year-old brother Burke Ramsey's fingerprints on the bowl. The Ramseys have always maintained that Burke slept through the entire episode until he was awakened several hours after the police have arrived. Can I say, though, some people, because I guess Burke had a history of, like, anger problems, yeah, even at 9, which is kind of...
That's kind of a little normal at that
kind
age.
Kind of a little normal. Well, also, his sister was getting all the attention, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Someone was saying, like, Burke fixed himself a bowl of pineapple.
And she took
them. She came down and took some.
Stop talking about my stuff.
I'm sorry. See what I'm saying? Like,
stop talking about it.
I'm going to stop talking about it. But see what I mean? Like, it's hard to...
No, I know. Yeah.
It's hard to go into it. Okay, so...
Oh, my God. I have one random long hair on my ankle. Do you see that?
Ew. Pluck it.
I can't.
Get it.
Oh! Ow! Oh, my God. Why did that hurt so bad?
No, you didn't even get it.
No, it hurt so bad.
Pull it.
It hurts so bad.
Get it.
Did I get it? Oh, I did. Oh,
oh my God.
God damn it, that hurt.
Could you imagine, like, you've been shaving your legs and you've missed...
How have I missed that one hair my whole life? It looked like I haven't shaved it in 20 years.
It's always, like, you get done shaving and it's like, you missed me again.
Chopped my phone in the car.
Oh my God.
I mean, the car. What is this? The couch. Got it.
It ate it. In December 2003, forensic investigators extracted enough material from a mixed blood sample found on JonBenet's underwear to establish a DNA profile. That DNA belonged to an unknown male person. Do you cover that?
No, you can go into detail about it more.
I'll tell you
if you need to stop.
The DNA was submitted to the FBI's combined DNA index system, a database containing more than 1.6 million DNA files, but the sample did not match any profile in the database.
It also didn't match anybody.
It matched
like nobody they tested either. So every suspect they ever had.
In October 2016, a new forensic analysis revealed that the original DNA actually contained genetic markers from two individuals other than JonBenet. And what I'd like to say about this is there are, I don't remember who, I'm so bad with names. I think it was like Dr. Lee. He reopened the investigation and specifically talked about the DNA on the underwear. When you're packaging clothes, even when you're packaging it in bags, it's not all like robots.
Well, especially not back in the 90s.
And machinery. People are touching these clothing items. Mm-hmm. People are touching. Their DNA is being put on these items.
It was people in the 90s. It was very few factories were completely automated, if any.
So he reopened the case. He tried to establish that theory by...
I can believe it. I can get behind it.
Buying packaged underwear and proving...
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he bought underwear, or they didn't bought, but they tested underwear that was packaged and found DNA on that underwear.
That makes sense to me.
So all the suspects that have ever been ruled out, all of them could possibly be...
You don't know if there's some nasty people that went in and tried it on and put it back in the package. That shit happens.
Back in the package. I've never heard of...
Heard of people doing that?
So, like, when they're hung up and stuff, yeah.
People try them on and roll them back up and put them back in.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's why you're not... When you try on, like, bathing suits, you're supposed to keep your underwear on. I don't try on bathing suits. It freaks me out.
No, I don't do that. I buy it in my size, take it home washed it. You're nasty with your crabs and shit trying on bathing suits.
Not putting on things with your vagina juices on it.
Also, when I buy any clothes, I wash them before I put them on.
Oh, see, I don't always wash them.
Neither does Jacob. Y'all are nasties. experts, media, commenters, and the Ramseys have identified potential subjects in the case. Boulder police initially focused almost exclusively upon John and Patsy, but by October 1997 had over 1,600 people in their index of persons of interest for the case. Errors that were made in the initial investigation complicated the resolution of the investigation and applicable theory. Those errors included loss and contamination of evidence, lack of experience and technical staff on the investigation, evidence shared with the Ramseys, and delayed informal interviews with the parents. Lou Smith was a detective who came out of retirement in early 1997 to assist the district attorney's office with the case. Do you want me to keep going or does this go into yours?
No, you can keep going.
In May 1998, he presented his findings to the Boulder Police with other staff members of the DA's office, concluding that the evidence pointed away from the Ramseys. However, they were unable to successfully challenge the police department's steadfast belief that the Ramseys were guilty. The DA's office sought to take control of the investigation. Due to the animosity between the police and the DA's office and pressure to obtain a conviction, Colorado Governor Roy Romer interceded and named Michael Caine as special prosecutor to initiate a grand jury. Two of the lead investigators in the case who had opposing views, Smith and Steve Thomas, resigned. Smith because he believed that the investigation had incompetently reading really fast. Incompetently overlooked the intruder hypothesis, and Thomas because the DA's office had interfered with and failed to support the police investigation of the case. A grand jury was covenant.
You okay?
No. A grand jury was convened.
Convened.
Why can't I?
I don't know.
What is wrong with me?
Who knows?
A grand jury was convened beginning September 15th, 1998, to consider indicting the Ramseys for charges relating to the case. In 1999, the grand jury returned to a true bill. I don't really know what that is.
No idea.
To charge the Ramseys with placing the child at risk in a way that led to her death and with obstructing an investigation of murder based on the probable cause standard applied in such grand jury proceedings, but Boulder County District Attorney Alex Hunter did not prosecute them because he did not believe that he could meet the higher standard of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, which is required for a criminal conviction.
Glee.
I'm almost done. Mary Lacey, the next Boulder County District Attorney, took over the investigation from the police on December 26, 2002. In April 2003, she agreed with a federal judge who sat on a 2002 libel case that evidence in the suit is more consistent with a theory that an intruder murdered JonBenet than it was a theory that Miss Ramsey did. On February 2, 2009, Boulder Police Chief Mark Beckner announced that Stan Garnett, the new Boulder County District Attorney, was turning the case over to his agency and that his team would resume investigating it. Garnett found that the statute of limitations for the crime identified in the 1999 grand jury true bill had expired and did not pursue review of the case against the Ramseys. In October 2010, the case was reopened. New interviews were conducted following a fresh inquiry by a committee that included state and federal investigators. Police were expected to use the latest DNA technology in their investigation. There was no new information gleaned from those interviews, according to ABC News. It was reported in September 2016 that the investigation into JonBenet's death continues to be an active homicide case per Boulder Police Chief Greg Testa. And I also put down, I already read about that.
I will say this, because I have like a little tidbit about the trial, but you've covered all of it, but the only thing you haven't covered is that it's worth noting that there was more than 100 burglaries in the Ramsey's neighborhood in the month before JonBenet's death, and 38 sex offenders living within a 2-mile radius of the home.
And I'm sure if you're a sex offender, you're going to know who JonBenet Ramsey is.
Oh my God, yeah. Even if, oh yeah, I imagine she was on their list.
Is Gary Oliva on your suspect list? Yes. Okay, never mind.
Okay, so
I watched, what is it, what is it called? Mm-hmm. What are their names? I don't know. The guy who's like really tall and he like doesn't believe in any ghosts.
The BuzzFeed one that you always watch? Yeah.
I'm totally out of it and I don't know what. I don't think I've had enough caffeine. They did a little snippet case and they really honed in on Gary Oliva.
Yeah, he's probably arguably like if I needed to pick somebody else, he would be my next best one.
The most evidence, I mean, there's so much evidence.
Yeah. So, okay. So, basically when I started doing this research, I knew a lot about the case, but I didn't know a lot about the suspects because I kind of had my opinion. And, first of all, there are a hell of a lot more suspects than I realized. I thought there was only, like, 3 or 4.
No, there's, like...
There's tons. Uh-huh. And a lot of them are very interesting, and if I still... But it has not changed my mind. I am still convinced it's the brother. But there are some much... There are some viable options, for sure. So, let's...
I think it was either the brother or Gary Oliva.
Yeah, I can stand by that. But I think, for sure, her parents covered it up. So, I think her parents were involved. Her parents were involved. Okay, so let's start with her parents. So I'm going to break, I kind of broke these suspects down into groups. So first is her parents. So let's start with Patsy herself. So Patsy was a former beauty queen known for her pageant-winning daughter and her lavish lifestyle, and more importantly, her lavish parties. They were really famous, the Ramseys, in the neighborhood for their Christmas party, which will become important with a different suspect. Patsy
Santa.
Was... Patsy was also known to be a very strict mother and some people claimed that she physically punished JonBenet.
Okay.
Some claim that Patsy even punished JonBenet some people claim that Patsy punished JonBenet for another peeing in the bed incident, because apparently it was a very common occurrence that JonBenet peed in the bed.
Could you imagine?
At that age is normal, right? Although I will say, I do remember watching in like Criminal Minds or some TV show that I watch that like excessive peeing in the bed is a sign of sexual abuse.
It is. What was I gonna say?
Peeing in the bed.
Even so, even if they're not sexually abused, can you imagine having like you just can't help it and you have accidents, you wake up
and your
mom, and you know that you're gonna get your ass beat?
Yeah, exactly.
I could never. I have never, ever, ever, ever gotten mad at the girls.
That is so detrimental to their mental state.
Honestly,
to beat the shit out of them for something they cannot
control.
That's so stupid. That's like when I was reading into all the potty training things. It was like, don't get mad at them if they have an accident. I'm like, why would I get mad at him? He cannot help it.
Right.
Like he, I mean, yeah, like, should he tell me? Yeah, he should. And I can be like, all right, I'm a little annoyed with you for not telling me. But I'm not going to be like, screw you, kid. Let me beat you for peeing in your underwear. It's ridiculous. But anyway, some of the claims was that, one theory, rather, is that JonBenet peed in the bed again. Patsy was totally over it. Beat the shit out of her and accidentally killed her. And she staged a kidnapping to kind of cover up this what she did. It is believed that in a fit of anger, she hit her head up against a flat, blunt object. And in this case, they believe it was the edge of the bathtub.
Okay.
Which would make sense if your kid peed on herself, you take her to the bathroom. Her
vagina was wiped with a cloth.
Right,
so.
Which would also make sense. Patsy said that she first knew JonBenet was missing when she found the 2.5-page ransom note at the bottom of the staircase. The note itself contained snippets from classic crime films and demanded a ransom of $118,000, which you talked about, but it was supposed to be donated or given to a foreign faction, which that's like a big joke. Like when people are like, who the fuck is a foreign faction?
What
like, what does that even mean? This is the exact amount that John Ramsey had gotten as a Christmas bonus. But analysis of the note showed that it was probably written by a woman for sure. And it was on Patsy's stationery and pen. So the writing analysis did not prove that it was Patsy explicitly, but it did prove that it was probably a woman. But at the time, it was determined that it wasn't her that wrote the actual letter. When JonBenet's body was found, there was a rope around her neck that was tightened with a handmade garrote. It is believed that the garrote was made with one of Patsy's paintbrushes. A lot of this information is going to be repeated just because it's evidence. But many say that Patsy adored JonBenet and would never hurt her, while others criticize her over-sexualizing her daughter and using her as a meal ticket. Because a lot of people believe that Patsy basically was like, well, my time as beauty queen supreme is over, so
she's
let
like
me...
living through her daughter.
Exactly, living vicariously through her daughter, which would also lend to the story with Burke, because she did apparently neglect him a little once JonBenet started showing a lot of promise. But Patsy Ramsey did pass away in 2006 of ovarian cancer, so Patsy is no longer around. Okay, so now we go to John Ramsey. After the first police officer arrived at the home and searched to find nothing, she sent John and a neighbor to search the house for anything suspicious / out of place. John apparently made a beeline directly to the basement where the wine cellar is, which is where we know the body was found. John was the one who found his daughter's dead body in the basement and carried her upstairs. He also removed the tape from her mouth and covered her in a different blanket.
Huh.
Which, because you said she was covered in a blanket.
She was covered in a white blanket.
Yeah. So this effectively destroyed any DNA evidence that could have possibly been on her. Some blame this on the police officer instead of John, saying that like they should have known better than to send someone just looking
to
the house.
Look for the kid.
Yeah. It has been said that due to the holiday, the police on duty were not the finest in the department. The police officer who was there when John found his daughter, the one who told him to go look, has always been very vocal about her suspicion that the parents were involved. She even stated that the Ramseys let the 10 a.m. ransom deadline pass without saying a word.
That's what I'm saying, like...
Yeah, apparently they were just, like, piddling around.
There was no attempt to go collect money for the ransom.
There was no urgency. Like, if that was me, like, any second, the path, like, it's another second, it's another second, it's another minute, it's another minute. But apparently, like, the 10 a.m. deadline just passed and no one said anything.
Right.
And a detective said he had overheard John making plans to fly his family out to Atlanta just a few hours after the murder.
What?
John admitted that this was true, stating that he just wanted to get out of the house and go to the place where they had lived for 25 years.
No, I'm not leaving my kid. Dead or alive, I'm not leaving them.
Yeah. Innuendo of sexual abuse started to circulate. The bedwetting was even cited, like I said before.
Right.
But no evidence was ever found that she was actually sexually abused. A lot of the accusations against her parents came from their strange behavior after the murder. There was always also the lack of footsteps in the snow surrounding the house, suggesting that the murderer was already inside the home. In 2008, Patsy and John were officially cleared of any involvement due to DNA. I also want to point out that another infamous case about a child is the case of Natalie Holloway.
There was
and he married Natalie Holloway's mom.
What?
Yes, John Ramsay married Natalie Holloway's mom.
Why?
They met in grief counseling and got married. I think that's fucking weird.
That's very weird.
That's weird. Okay, so now this is the last family member, her brother. Burke Ramsay was 9 years old when JonBenet was murdered. Those who believe he is responsible for her murder believe that he angrily threw a flashlight at her.
I thought it was a train.
At her head. No, the train isn't, that's a separate thing. At her head and killed her. There was a blow on JonBenet's head that the flashlight in the kitchen, and if the, in the pictures, there's a flashlight sitting in the kitchen.
Right.
And the kitchen, or the flashlight and the wound do match.
Okay.
But allegedly, the story goes, which we kind of already touched on it, that Burke was up eating pineapple. As a midnight snack, JonBenet came in and stole a piece. This angered him so much that he struck her. The marks on her back, which were thought to maybe be a stun gun from an intruder, were matched the edges of Burt's toy train tracks. So it was one of those electric chain tracks.
Okay.
So when he apparently, so the thought is that he poked, when she didn't move, he was like,
He poked her back
with the train track, and it kind of gave a little shock to, like, see what, if she was alive still. It is believed that the parents covered up the murder with a kidnapping. Burke has never even been a suspect. He was never considered a suspect.
Well, Dr. Phil touched on this. Like, he was interviewing Burke, and he was like, you were upstairs in your room sleeping the whole time. You didn't hear any of the commotion.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't hear anyone
screaming. I find that very hard
screaming.
To believe. Yeah.
He knew. And then he was like, oh, well, I didn't know if there was, like, a burglar in the house or something. What? What are you talking about?
What does
that
even mean?
What are you... Is it snowing? Is that snow?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I think there's snow. Look
I
on the roof.
I can't see anything.
Look on the roof of that little barn. Doesn't it look like snow?
On what little barn?
That little red barn, that shed, doesn't it?
No, I think it's always got snow. It's always got snow. No, it's a white
roof. It's summer. It's always got snow.
It's a white roof. You made me get up for nothing. Okay, so the Ramseys worked very diligently to hide Bert from the media following his sister's murder.
Because he's guilty.
But following being exonerated in 2008, Burke did an interview with Dr. Phil to quote-unquote clear the air.
So after he was... Oh, my God.
Many people were extremely creeped out by this interview, but it wasn't a success in clearing his name to the public. And I went, talk about how he described her dead body, because you've seen it. But there's the part where literally he's sitting there and he's got that creepy ass smile and he's going, yeah. And then I looked at her body and her one eye was lopsided and looked weird. And I thought,
this was
that's
when she
weird.
Was, when she, he was, he's describing when she was in her coffin.
And he's just
they had
smiling.
They had an open casket viewing.
Which is so weird.
I do think that is weird. But some people have...
I know.
Some people
I think anybody with an open casket is weird because that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't do well with death.
Uh-uh.
Just ask Dylan.
Me either. But I've had a lot
Dylan tells me I handle it very poorly.
You haven't had many people die,
I haven't.
Though,
so, but Dylan has had
an excuse.
30 million people in his family die, so I'm like, I don't give it.
Yeah, I'm with Dylan. But she was laying... I feel like when she was laying down, she could have been in this position for hours and hours.
Oh, for sure.
When body fluid builds up in a certain
side,
it pools. So she has a reason for her face to be
He described the way his sister looked while she was dead in the most creepy way I've, like, I watched it and I legit got chills through my whole
body.
But
again, I still see that, like, the whole interview, he has this smile.
He does have the interview the whole smile.
I see this as more of, like, a very uncomfortable...
I don't know.
...body language than I'm just being creepy. Because I feel like if he was really being creepy, he would only be smiling during certain points and then have, like, a regular face the rest of the time.
It's not even just, like, a normal smile. It's like, the weirdest smile,
I'm saying,
too.
Like, it's a very uncomfortable
it is.
Smile. I don't know.
Okay, so then in 2016, though, CBS aired a aired the show where professional investigators looked into the case and re-interviewed people. At the end of the special, they concluded that it was most likely that Burke was the killer. So Burke filed a lawsuit against CBS for $750 million.
Did he win?
I don't think it's even come to fruition yet.
Is that how they're just getting their money now? Is just continuing to file lawsuits with probably people?
Okay, so the next person that I'm going to talk about is one of the, is not, the, that's the end of the family, basically. So the rest of these people are not family members, they're outside sources. So the next one that I'm going to talk about is her school teacher, or a school teacher. I don't think he was her school teacher. There are, this is one of the ones I was talking about where I read three different websites and I got two very different stories.
Yeah.
So here, so I wrote down both of them because it, both of them made sense. So I just didn't know which one was true. And they're that different. So the first one is in 2006, John Mark Carr confessed out of the blue in graphic details to drugging, sexual assault, and accidental murder of JonBenet. He had been emailing with a professor who was making a documentary about the case when his emails...
Oh, wait, I know about this guy.
Yeah, when his emails got very graphic. He claimed that he had killed... that she was killed in a love game gone wrong. Though his DNA did not match any of the DNA found on the girl, it was written off as a pedophile who wanted attention.
But also, wasn't he found in Georgia? Like, police investigators found him in Georgia at the time of her murder. So there was, like, no way he could have done it.
He didn't... he was not even looked at until 2006.
What I'm saying is they went back in time.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I saw in a documentary, it was, like, credible sources... They tried to place, where was he during this time? And he was, like, in Georgia.
Oh. He was a school teacher in the area, though. Yeah. So here, but here's the second story, which is a very different story. He claimed he was in the Ramsey's house the night of the murder and saw JonBenet die.
But why was he...
He doesn't say. But was not the one who murdered her.
Oh, that he didn't act alone.
No, no, no. He went on to say, nobody wanted that little girl to die that night. Nobody. Her death was an accident. I was with her when she died, but I was not the person who caused it.
Oh, wait, have you heard about the conspiracy theory about her dad being in, like, a pedophile sex ring but and this, using her
yes,
as...
and this kind of makes sense with that.
Right.
Is that it was, if he says he was not the one that killed her, it could very well stand to reason that that, if that conspiracy theory is correct, that her father has her in this pedophile ring and that it just, it was a love game that had gone wrong, but it wasn't that man who did it, you know, and he just is racked with guilt. So I guess it does, if you believe in that conspiracy theory, this does kind of make sense. He claimed he knew the identity of the killer and that he was the one that staged the crime in order to throw the police off the track of the real killer. He was cleared of any charges after no tissue or body fluids were found at the scene, which contradicted his story that he was even in the home. Like,
yeah,
they
also,
found nothing of him in the house.
Well, that too, and also when they asked him, like, what was used to tighten the
right,
cord.
She didn't know.
He didn't know, rather.
Yeah.
He was saying, like, different things that just didn't make sense.
This one is another one that kind of makes sense to me just because it did creep me out. Like, the story creeps me out. It's Santa.
Is this one with the glitter and the ashes?
Yes.
It's fucking weird, dude.
So, a Santa impersonator named Bill McReynolds was also a person of interest. Two nights before JonBenet was killed, McReynolds played Santa at the Ramseys' infamous Christmas party. That's what I was kind of talking about, how the Ramseys every year threw this really opulent, huge Christmas party. And they had Santa there for the kids.
And he was there, but
he was there multiple years.
Yeah, multiple
he was there
years.
2 years.
Two?
I think two, including the year she was murdered. Two nights before he was Santa. He gave JonBenet a quit. This was another thing that, like, some stories said this part and then others didn't. So this little tidbit may or may not be true, but according to some people, he gave JonBenet a card that said, you will receive a very special gift after Christmas. But
what?
I don't know for sure. McReynolds, who had played Santa for the Ramseys before, took a special liking to JonBenet, which I can't knock because, you know, there's some people that are just really involved with kids, and you always pick that kid that you have, like, a special, like, when you're a teacher. I mean, you taught at daycare.
I had kids that I liked.
Yeah, there was kids that you, like... If a kid, like, you know, if two kids drew you a drawing and you liked one of them, you would keep that drawing of the one that you liked, you know, because they mean something to you.
Right.
So it's not weird that he took a special liking to her because he's a Santa.
Kids, you create special bonds.
Exactly.
With kids.
He called her his special friend, and then not the year that she died, obviously, the year before, she gave him a vial of glitter as a Christmas present, which is such a little kid thing to do.
It is a little, and I think he said he in his defense, he was trying to, because people were like, why'd you keep a vial of glitter?
I don't see anything wrong with that. I keep JC and Delilah's drawings when they draw stuff for me.
Well, JC and Delilah, I mean, that's your best friends, kids.
I know, but still, like, when I used to teach Sunday school or, like, things like that, which is so hilarious now, but I would keep things that the kids drew me. They meant something to me, you know?
But still, even then, you had a very special, like, intimate connection.
Absolutely.
Versus a Santa seeing multiple kids once a year.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense.
But he was saying that he kept this vial because she was the only kid who had ever given him a gift versus
which
Santa.
Which that totally makes sense.
It does make sense. But then he takes it to a whole creepy level, which I'll let
he the creepy level he takes it to is he took the vial of glitter that she gifted him into heart surgery.
Right.
And he asked his wife that if he died during surgery to have the glitter mixed in with his ashes, that when they were spread, the glitter and the ashes would be mixed. A lot of people liked the thought of an older man dressed as Santa being the perpetrator. It made sense. Rather than her family. It was like, it was the better option. It was like, it makes more sense it's this creepy old man.
Well, nobody wants it to be the family.
No one wants it to be the family.
Nobody, when you're, she's, you know, Patsy and Dawn were portrayed as these awesome parents who have this lavish lifestyle.
Exactly.
They would do anything for their kids. People don't want to be like, oh my
God.
Well,
and also not
it.
A 9-year-old little boy. You don't want to believe that
exactly.
either. You would love to believe it's a creepy old man in a Santa suit.
Right.
But he claimed he was, but it apparently it's very unlikely that he was the murderer. Other than the creepy little things he had with JonBenet, there really wasn't any, there wasn't anything else other than that.
Right.
He claimed he was innocent up until his death in 2002. Like, he stood by that he was innocent. This is the one you like. So, a town drifter.
Not like. I don't like him.
You like him for the murder.
No.
This
is who I think did it along with the brother. Like, these are my two suspects.
Well, that's the thing. That's when you like him for the murder.
No,
I don't
like him.
No.
I think he did it.
The phrase is, I like him for that.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard police say that? I like him for this one. Meaning, like, I think this might be who did it.
I've never heard of that.
Ugh,
so
okay,
I'm taking
whatever.
Great offense.
Okay.
That you think I like this guy.
No, I don't think you
this
like this
creepy ass guy.
He is a town drifter named Gary Oliva. He was 32 years old, and he was a known sex offender in Boulder. The police allegedly found a magazine cutout of JonBenet in his backpack after he was apprehended in an unrelated drug charge in 2000. The droplet of blood was found on her underwear. When they found the droplet of blood on her underwear, they assumed it was sexual assault, but we've also talked about other options. So when they put sex into the mix, the sex offender became the good suspect. He was soon released, but suspicion always kind of remained about him. The Ramseys had a longtime private investigator who always felt like the police didn't give enough attention to the convicted sex criminal that was in the area at the time of the crime. Oliva's high school friend even stepped forward and confirmed the suspicion, saying that not long after the murder, Oliva called him.
The night after.
Yeah. The murderer called him and saying he hurt a little girl. The knots in the garrote were very similar to knots that Oliva had used in an incident where he attempted to strangle his own mother with a telephone cord. He even had a stun gun on him at the time of the arrest. And like we said before, she had marks on her back
that resembled a stun
gun. A stun gun, but also a train track.
Yeah.
He even had a stun gun with him, but much like the other suspect, he was cleared by DNA testing. So that's what makes me mad is if you're right with what you're saying is that the DNA is from the people who packaged the underwear, which totally makes
they
sense.
They are. Somebody
they
said
have
the case is-
they have literally exonerated everybody because of this one set of DNA.
Yep.
Literally, every single suspect they ever had has been exonerated just because of that piece of DNA.
That's
so if that DNA gets thrown out.
You didn't hear me when I walked in. Dylan said something. He was like, we walked in and he was joking and he said something about JonBenet. And I was like, don't even talk to me about JonBenet because this case got me fucked up.
Because if they throw out that DNA and say it's not viable.
It's not viable. They've
then
already proven
every
this.
Single one of these people becomes a suspect again.
That's what
again.
I was telling you. The DNA.
It just makes no sense.
Right.
Okay, so then there's the electrician. Michael Helgoth was considered a hellraiser who was tied to an alleged property dispute involving the Ramseys. Some believe that this is the motive for her kidnapping. So these are people who believe she really was kidnapped.
Okay.
The 26-year-old committed suicide 2 days after a press conference announcing that the Boulder DA was zeroing in on a new suspect. So that's literally the only connection he has, is that he was in a fight with the Ramseys about something, and he killed himself literally the day. Like,
maybe because he thought, because he was in a fight with them, that they were going to try to pin it on him.
Right. Or some people believe that they were like, oh, I'm the suspect, they're zeroing.
But it doesn't make sense for her to be kidnapped.
But
like,
here's
are
the
they
going
to kidnap her? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Here's the thing. Guess what? He was cleared by DNA. Woo, go figure. Next is the housekeeper.
I didn't know they had a housekeeper.
Linda, oh, they had more money than God, so yeah, they had a housekeeper. Linda Hoffman Pug. Her last name is spelled P-U-G-H. Pug. Pug. Had worked for the family along with her husband. Her husband was like the handyman.
Okay. The electrician.
Therefore, she had a key to the home. She didn't fit the profile at all. The profile was looking for a white male, former convict, 25 to 30 years old. But
why a former convict?
I don't know. Just
what the hell?
I don't know.
These policemen, man.
But she never held back in voicing her suspicion that Patsy Ramsey was responsible. Patsy claimed that Linda, who was struggling with money, had asked the family for a loan and they had declined. The theory goes that Linda led JonBenet, who trusted her because she worked for the family all this time, down to the basement in an attempt to trick her employees that the girl had been kidnapped to receive ransom money. The police went to her home the night after the murder and asked the woman to write the numbers 180,000. So, like, they got all the numbers they needed to, like, test on a piece of paper and took fingerprints and DNA. She then testified in front of a grand jury for 8 hours, saying again and again and again that it was Patsy.
Right.
Her testimony, she made claims that Patsy had multiple personalities and a wild temper.
Oh, like Mommy Dearest.
Mm, all the evidence against her was circumstantial, though, and she was never formally accused. Here's the best one. You ready for it?
No.
Oh, you're gonna die.
Wait, no, this isn't the brother. Who are you talking about?
She isn't dead.
Wait, what?
A 2014 YouTube video claimed that JonBenet's parents staged the murder. That JonBenet is alive and living her life as Katy Perry.
Oh, wait, I've heard this theory. Yes.
The video was deleted. I wanted to watch this video so fucking bad. It's deleted. It's gone. But apparently this guy had legit, like, evidence.
How can you have evidence?
I don't know. It's probably the same thing as with my Beatles thing, where it was like, here's a picture. And if you look at a picture, they kind of are similar. I'm not saying I believe this. Please do not come at me thinking that I think Katy Perry is JonBenet. But they kind of look similar, and so it's hilarious. And I wanted to watch this video so bad.
I'm sure if you Googled
it. Oh, I'm sure I could find, like, off brands of it. But his theory was legit enough that this article talked about it.
I'm trying to look up pictures. It's like with, what was I going to say? Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, it's basically just like that. That's all the suspects. But, like, it was a hell of a lot more suspects than I ever thought. Have you found one? A side-by-side comparison?
Not of younger. It's just, like, JonBenet as, you know, her 6-year-old self and Katy Perry. Which is stupid.
But if you look at their, like, eyes and the shapes of their, like, they do look, but I mean, it's not, they don't look similar enough for me to jump on the bandwagon, but it is a very funny similar.
Can I ask you a non-related?
Sure, we always do.
Khloe Kardashian.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think her dad is?
Oh, not Robert Kardashian at all.
You think it's, what's his name?
Which one? OJ?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
Have you seen OJ's other daughter?
No,
looks
they
exactly
look
like Khloe.
Really?
Google it. I mean, this will be, it legit looks like Khloe.
I do believe that Robert Kardashian is not her, because she is, all the Kardashians, even the Jenner Kardashians, look identical.
Right.
She is the only one.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I will say,
OJ,
Katy Perry and Patsy look alike.
Yes. Daughter. Holy shit.
Right? And then they had an episode.
Oh my god, right. They do!
Then they had an episode on Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Khloe tries to get DNA.
Yeah, and her mom won't do it.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Right?
She looks like Nicole. Like, have you seen a picture of Nicole Simpson? The one arguably, she looks like her.
She does.
Well, that wouldn't make sense that she looked like Nicole, but she does kind of look, but this little girl looks like, that's hilarious.
I don't know about the Katy Perry thing.
It's a very funny. This is so funny. I cannot get over this.
Well, you believe in, like, Sandy Hook and everything like that, right?
What do you mean?
Some people believe that it's not real.
That's such bullshit. Such bullshit. I feel
like, why would police go through all this? Like, what comes out of it?
Stop saying that kids didn't die. Little kids died. Like, I just don't get that.
Well,
let parents grieve.
Some people say that the only reason that whole thing, like, it's a conspiracy to take away our guns, even though it really happened.
I don't give a, like,
yeah. I'm on the same
page. No, I know you are. I'm just like, this is so fucking stupid.
Do you think, so there is there's an end game that kind of makes sense with that.
Yeah.
But in this case, what would the end game be if
if she wasn't, she wasn't dead.
Right.
That's what I'm saying is, I'm sure this video did give reason, and I wish I was able to watch it to give, like, give more information, because I'm sure he had a reason. But if, like, as in a viewer, like, as myself, I'm like, what would be the benefit? Like, she could have been famous all on her own. Like, I don't see what making her a different person and then letting her gain fame in her own, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little girl that was a beauty star is already on her way to being famous. If she could sing like Katy Perry and already had this beauty queen stuff, like, under her belt.
Right.
I don't think she would have had a problem getting a career started, so I don't see what the point is. So, but I'm sure that video went into detail on, like, what the reason is, but I cannot see it.
I don't know.
But that's the case of JonBenet, and it's about as long as I thought it would take us to get through it.
It wouldn't have taken us so long if we could stay on track.
Never.
I can't. It's so hard for me to do, even to this day with, like, other things.
Never.
I can't do it.
So, if you enjoyed this, let us know. If you have other
cases.
Maybe
we should do the Natalie one.
Natalie Holloway? Uh-huh. That's a good one, too. Also, if you have any other, like, you're like, hey, you guys didn't mention this suspect, or you forgot this piece of evidence, you crazies, let us know, because, like, I genuinely am interested in this case. I always have been.
And I'm usually not, I mean,
you're not a true crime person.
I'm not, like, a true crime person. Like, no. I've said, and if you've been with us since the beginning, you know, like, things like this creep me out. Like, I get anxiety from them. I'd rather a ghost be lurking in my house than someone trying to kill me.
Right.
Give me a ghost over this any day.
See, I'm like, give me a murderer.
I like that we have that difference.
Very different.
But I'm very interested about this.
It's just one of those it just bothers me so much. With all the technology we have, there is no reason we should not be able to solve this case.
I forget what thing was bagged and not tested. I think it was like a rope or something that they found.
It's just ridiculous.
And it wasn't tested for DNA at all.
It's the same thing.
It just sat in a bag for years and years.
With Adam Walsh, like when I did the kidnapping of Adam Walsh and the murder, I'm like, there's no reason we should not know who did this. Like, there's just no reason.
Oh, wait,
reason.
The whole thing, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, we should know. We should know. Like, there's just, it should be done by now.
Speaking of that podcast, I watched I came across a Dahmer documentary, and it's creepy how, like, it's not creepy. He just talked about his victim so nonchalantly.
Yeah.
Like, he seemed sorry. He was like, there was no malicious intent.
He just couldn't help it.
Like, yeah, he literally said he couldn't help it. But you know, he went 9 years without murdering people.
He tried.
He did. He just said there was no.
He just couldn't do it.
Yeah, there was no opportunity.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not a bad guy, but I'm also saying he has mental illness that he couldn't help.
Yes. But people saying that it was Dahmer,
it doesn't make sense.
No.
Because exactly like he said, he's like, why would I tell you about every other
person? And not tell you about this one.
And not tell you about this one. Like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
But anyway, so.
We could go on and on.
If you liked this one, let us know. Give us a rate, a review.
Oh, yeah, a review.
Yeah, because we like reading the reviews, and we don't have any new ones right now to read. But, yeah.
Review us.
Review.
Subscribe.
Download the podcast, because that's how we get little, like, ticks. It's like, hey, your podcast has been downloaded or listened to, and like we really get, Dylan always sends us little like updates. He'll be like, it's guess very what? Cute how you have 1,000 views, like this.
He pumps
like,
us woo! Up.
Yeah, he's like our hype man. And so yeah, so we really like that kind of stuff. It does make a big difference to us, and it really means a lot. So yeah, so follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. Just look up Two Hexy Mamas. And that is it. We hope you have a good holiday season. We're going to do a couple more holiday-themed episodes. What? She's already mad about her
I'm subject. I'm not mad. It's just silly, and it's not...
It's what you wanted. I gave you what you wanted.
I did, but I don't know why I picked this.
Well, you did. So keep it hexy. Emotional, goodbye.
Emotional turmoil.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's like Pinky in the Brain here. I'm like, say goodbye.
Are you comparing
What are we going to do today, Brain? The same thing we do every night, Pinky.
Do I have time to pee?
Yeah, hurry up, though.
Don't tell me to hurry.
We're done with JonBenet.
Right now.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.